all a question. I want to know who in this room has ever met a member of the royal family? A king, a prince, a princess? Oh my goodness, lots of you. Who have you all met? Let's just shout out who you've met. Who's going to... You want to shout?
Prince George.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow. Wilbur, who have you met?
Prince William.
Wow, that's...
Prince William.
Yes, sorry, Prince William. Prince William. All quite young bit members. John? Okay. Jenny? Phil the Greek, did you call him? Karen? Oh.
Kate?
Nice. Peter?
The king about three feet away.
What?
The king about 3 feet away.
Georgina?
Of Prince William, St. Prince William, yeah.
Wow, so lots of the royal family. But I've got a feeling that actually everyone in this room has met one of the royal family, even the ones who haven't put their hands up. And the reason I think that is because the Bible talks about Jesus being our king. And when Jesus... do you know what the very first words he said in Mark's gospel were, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. And so we know that when Jesus came, it wasn't just a normal person, it was a king and an amazing king. Now, he also brought his kingdom. We live in... Sorry, John is saying I've got to speak up. Is this not working? Okay, maybe closer to it now. So, we live in, what's the country we live in called?
England.
A bigger name for the whole of it, not just United. England. What was that?
United Kingdom.
United Kingdom. So we live in a kingdom and we have a king, King Charles. But God's kingdom, I think, is a little bit different from that. There's various words we could use to describe it. It's eternal, which means it goes on forever and ever. It's all-powerful. There is nothing on heaven or earth which is more powerful than it. It's huge. It covers the whole earth and the whole heavens. And it's basically that, what we call the spiritual realm, where God rules as king. And most of the time we can't see it because it's spiritual, but every so often it seems to burst into our world. And if you could look at the little 3 years that Jesus was on earth as our king, you see the kingdom bursting out. You see people being healed, delivered of demons, he raised the dead, miracles were happening. Wherever Jesus was, the kingdom was there. But when we look at Jesus in the Bible, we also see he wasn't really like the kings and presidents and rulers that we see now, was he? He was quite different. We see him being, even though he's more powerful than any of them, we see him being more humble. We see him being loving, being gentle. He brought peace, he brought healing, he brought safety. He wasn't lording it over people and living in a huge palace. He even said he had nowhere to lay his head, he had no home. So he's different. But also his kingdom is different. And when you get different kingdoms, they often clash, don't they? They fight with each other. Who can think of somewhere in the world at the moment where kingdoms are clashing?
Gaza.
Good one. Teddy? Lost it. Anyone else? Yeah?
Where the Taliban?
Afghanistan. Any other places? Anywhere that might be fighting with Russia at the moment?
Ukraine?
Yeah.
Taiwan?
Almost. We're hoping it's not going to clash, but it's pretty close to clashing, so that's a really good one. So kingdoms clash and fight, and that happens with the kingdom of God as well, doesn't it? Because there is, just as there is God's kingdom, there's also what the Bible calls the kingdom of darkness, or kingdom of this age, or even the kingdom of Satan. Why is that? Well, if we go all the way back to the creation story and we see God putting this earth into the hands of mankind, and giving it to us to look after. Then we see Adam and Eve deciding they could do it better. So they took the apple that he said they mustn't take, and they ate it, and that, in effect, handed control of this world over to sin, which is a word for rebellion against God, and Satan, who's almost like the one who has all the sort of baddies who are ranked against God. And when that happened, that brought into this perfect world God has given us, that brought in pain, sickness, lies, hatred, pride, and even death. It's quite depressing, isn't it, thinking that's a wrecked world. But then the amazing thing that we read about in the Bible, John 1, it says, Jesus came into that world to bring light. And in Colossians 1, it says that when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he, in its words, he rescued us from the dominion or power of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of light. Darkness and light. I wonder what you were all doing last Thursday. Who can remember what the name of last Thursday was? Yeah? Yes. 31st of October is always Halloween, and it's sort of a bit of an icky day because it's all about darkness and bad things. But Christians can have an amazing role because we're the ones who know the light and can point other people to the light that's come into the darkness. So maybe every Halloween we can think, can we be people who point to the light instead of just having this horrible spotlight on darkness? And we know from the Bible that one day Jesus is going to return. He's going to banish sin and Satan, and with it all the bad things, pain, sickness, death. But until that time, and we don't know when exactly that's going to happen, we're in a sort of in-between time. Jesus has won. He's won the victory. Sin and Satan are conquered. The kingdom of light is here, but sin and Satan are also still here, and it's like there's a sort of battleground or a war zone going on. And I think maybe sometimes people say, why is God allowing that to still happen? Well, because when God gets rid of sin and Satan and all the bad stuff, that anyone who's still gripping on to sin might have to go wherever sin goes. And so God is, because he loves all of us, he's giving everyone as long as possible to let go of sin and turn to him. So I've got two questions for us today. One is, do we know that true king, Jesus? Is he our king? Is he my king? Is he the one that we obey in every part of our lives? I don't know how many of you saw this video clip about a week ago of King Charles in Australia. And he walked across and he sat down on what might have been a throne or just a chair, I don't know what. And this Aussie MP came storming down the aisle shouting, you're not my king, you're not our king. And poor King Charles looked really awkward, like he didn't quite know what to do. Is Jesus my king? Is he your king? And also, are we putting our energy and our strength and our resources, everything we've got, into his kingdom? Or are we actually wasting it on the kingdom that's going, the kingdom of this age, and everything that is basically going to be burnt up as part of that? Where are we investing? Are we allowing him to rule over every part of our lives? Or are the bits that we're just trying to keep for ourselves, that like maybe out of bounds to him, no-go areas to Jesus, where we want to keep control? Might be like we've got a foot in his kingdom, but we're trying to keep the other foot safely in the other kingdom just in case. Looks great on the outside, but deep in our hearts we know we're slightly compromising, fudging it and hoping no one will notice the little bits that we're holding back for ourselves. In Matthew 6, Jesus says we cannot have two masters. We can't be loyal to two kings at once. And I was thinking, it's a bit like if you're in a sports club and you get scouted and transferred to a much bigger, better club, and you've got a new coach, a new kit, a new team. And then in the middle of the match, you suddenly cross over and shoot a goal for the old team. That is not going to go down well, is it? You have to be committed to one team, not both at once. So I'm going to finish with a challenge for us. So we, sitting here today in nice safe cafe church, we can probably all say, I want Jesus to be my king. I want to know him. But what about tomorrow? What about next week? What about at school? What about in our sports team? What about at work? What about with friends who don't know Jesus? When following Jesus is hard, or it involves sacrifices, or even being laughed at, do we still want Jesus to be our king then? And to obey him, whatever the cost, to put everything that we've got into his kingdom, our strength, our time, our possessions, our reputation. That's really hard to do, isn't it? To put all of us in. And I'm not sure any of us can actually do that. So what I'm going to do now is pray that the Holy Spirit will come and do that inside us. Because actually, Jesus doesn't just leave us to do it all on his own. He says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to live in you, and he'll help you to be the people I want you to be. So just be quiet for a second, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'll tell you what will happen afterwards. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to help us with all the things we can't do ourselves. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would give us power in our inner beings to follow Jesus, to let him be king, to obey him. That you'd help us to invest in his kingdom, not any other kingdom. And we pray that you'd help us to do that for the rest of our lives, even when things get difficult or tough. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your power and your presence, and help us to know the King deep inside. Amen. Now, what we're going to do now is just chat a little bit round our tables. I've got two questions for you to chat about, and John and I will, and maybe it's someone else, will bring some cakes round so you can get a bit of a sugar rush while chatting. And then after that, Tim is going to come, and we've got one more worship song to do before we finish. So my two questions, and they're not written down anywhere, so you're going to have to concentrate. One, I'm saying this to each of you, know the King or want to know him? And chat about how to get to know him better. But the second question is, how do I feel about obeying him in everything? Are there some areas of my life that I quite want him to stay out of? And what are they? So do I know the King or want to know him? And how do I feel about obeying him in everything? We'll get the cakes.